Morning Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, do you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're gonna like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Good countdown. Six, five, four, three, two, one.
You have entered a restricted broadcast area. You have entered a restricted broadcast area.
Is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Oh, yes. Here we are, and glad to be with you this afternoon. Hello, and welcome to the Guy James Show, coming to you from the blue waters and sandy beaches of beautiful southwest Florida. Glad to have all of you along with us this afternoon. Hope we have a good show in store for you, and of course, anytime there's a really good show, that means you have participated as well. And you may do that by giving us a call at 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. Now, before I get started with anything, I got a rather nasty email last night, and I want to take care of it right now before I do anything else, if you don't mind, okay? Most of you, this doesn't pertain to whatsoever, so you can... You know, you can continue to play cards or whatever it is you're doing. I got an email from a gentleman that said he was told by one of his friends to try listening to the program yesterday. This man is a right-wing Republican. He tuned in to the program and wrote to me to let me know how terribly offensive the program was to him since I berated his beloved President Bush. His beloved Richard Cheney and Condoleezza Rice and the whole goddamn bunch there in Washington. And he was quite put off that I would talk that way about this wonderful administration we have in Washington right now. So I want to put on a disclaimer. If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be ye warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today. And I see people are telling me, is this true? People are saying... I guess we're up and running okay. God, I hate to ask that question every day. That's what I hate about internet radio. You don't have that producer over there letting you know every little last minute thing that's going on. But those of you on the Hit On Radio chat room, let me know if everything's up and running okay, will you? Will you do that right away, instantaneously, right now? And I also want to thank a friend of mine from yesterday. I got a nice note from him. John Ostojich, one of our local listeners here in the Southwest Florida area, wrote me a note that he was happy that Keith Olbermann had used the word dilettante when describing George W. Bush yesterday. And I happen to think that it was just the perfect word to describe him. And if you haven't looked it up, John did and sent it to me. Dilettante, showing frivolous or superficial interest amateurish dabbler, an amateur who engages in an activity without serious intentions, and who pretends to have knowledge. Man, could there be a word? Could there possibly be a word in the dictionary that describes Junior George W. Bush any better than that one? I don't think so. John, thank you for telling me that. I'm glad to know that. And how many of you, and I want to give you a disclaimer right here, right now, I didn't sit down and watch this last night. I got to see a tape of it today. How many of you got to see Bow Tie Boy do his dancing deal last night? Huh? How many of you got to see Tucker Carlson make a total ass of himself on TV last night? Oh, mama. Now, I'm not exactly Fred Astaire. I've got rhythm, and I play musical instruments and sing and do all that sort of thing, but I'm no Fred Astaire. But, oh, my God, Tucker. Tucker, don't ever go on the dance floor again. And I got a feeling when they vote, he probably won't have a chance to go back on that one. Woo, boy, that was kind of rough. Jerry Springer didn't exactly have a great night either, from what I could see. My. And what else we got on here? Did want to let you know, those of you that haven't been keeping track today, everything's fine in Iraq. Well, it is. That's what the Bush people said. Said it's gone as well as could be expected, and some things are, you know, some things are going much better than expected, and some things are, you know, aren't going quite as well. They did find 67 men killed in Baghdad yesterday who had been tortured. Other than that, not bad. Not bad, you know. Then I see just a little while ago they found another 22. So they're starting to, now look, somebody's humiliating me already on the chat room, saying John Denver's not good dance music. I'll get you for that. Knows that I love John Denver music. I'll have to admit, I've never danced to... Martin on the chat room says Tucker's kind of light in the loafers guy. I'm making no comment on that. Not that there's anything wrong with that. You can tell I watch Seinfeld. Got a letter that I have to read to you. And I want to do it right off the bat today. Get this over with, because this is a young man that we've heard from. I think this is the fourth letter that we've gotten from him. His father lives not all that far from here. I must admit, I do not know his father. His father is a Republican, a lifelong Republican, still is, but losing faith. And so I got another letter today from our friend, our soldier friend in Iraq. And since I believe that he should have all the respect in the world, I'm going to lead off the program with it today, if you don't mind. Dear Mr. James, it's been a while since I've written. The truth is that although I have wanted to let you know what is going on over here, I haven't had much time to sit down, relax, and write to you. We've been run ragged day and night, and I don't see any end in sight. As I've mentioned before, I've been here almost a total of 3 years now, including 2 months in Kuwait while waiting. You might think that in a war, after that much time passing, things would begin to get a little easier. That is not the case. It's much worse now than at any previous time over here. I've been stationed almost everywhere in the triangle, and I can tell you that there is no place safe. No place at all. And as bad as it is for my outfit and I cannot imagine what it is like to be an Iraqi. They are afraid of us. They are afraid of their NIA. That's the new Iraqi army. The local cops, and of course, of each other. I know one American-educated Iraqi rather well. He went to Duke University. He's an engineer, but has no work and no way to feed his family. He begs, borrows, and steals what he has to get by. I really feel bad for him. He lives about a half mile outside the green zone and tells me it isn't safe to open his door after dark or even in the day, for that matter. How sad. And the NIA? Totally useless. They're trained for 9 weeks, get a paycheck, and then they disappear. Most of them join just to get that first check. They will never be an adequate fighting force or be able to protect the people against the violence going on here right now. While on patrol last Wednesday, we came upon a scene that we're getting used to by now, but I wish all Americans could have seen it on the news. If they had, I believe the attitude about the war would change drastically. There were five adult men, one adult woman, and a teenage girl tied together with the nylon cuffs like we use. They were propped up in a circle, their heads in their laps having been chopped off. The girl was spared the beheading, but her body was riddled with bullets. This is not a rare occurrence. You name it, whatever barbarian way they can kill and torture one another, they're doing it. In fact, they seem to have been quite astute at thinking up new ways of torture that I could not have imagined before seeing them. We saw an interview with an American Army colonel here in Baghdad who said things were tough but under control. If this is his idea of what under control is, then I don't want to see it when it's not going well. He also said the morale of the U.S. troops, and I'm quoting him, he said the morale is the best he's ever seen. I hate to talk about a commanding officer in this manner, but he is a effing liar. The morale could not be any lower. The PTSD, the post-traumatic stress syndrome, is getting worse every day. I've mentioned the Valium and the Xanax being used like candy. Well, it's ever present, and half the guys I know are using it as an escape from this hell on earth. I would caution you not to believe half of what you've seen on TV. We see CNN over here, and their reports must be written by the Pentagon because most of them are outright lies. As an example, I was supposed to come home 4 weeks ago. I was told I had to stay another month while they readied another group to come in. Yesterday, I was told I'm going to be here for at least 2 more months. I'm a prisoner in the United States military. If circumstances were different, I wouldn't mind staying, but when you see how things are here, and when you realize how much the situation is deteriorating, you would understand why I went out of here, and so does every soldier I know. The ones you see on TV talking about how much progress we've made here and how good the morale is have been handpicked by the brass and all have cherry jobs on the staffs of the commanding officers. You want to talk about morale and the condition of this war? You ask the guys patrolling outside of the green zone every day. They will tell you how it really is. Well, it's time to get a couple of hours of sleep before my next little excursion into the friendly streets of Baghdad. My dad says hi. Sincerely, Sergeant. And he's in Baghdad. Nice, huh? Isn't it nice? Always an amazing story when we hear from the kids that are over there. And this young man is 22 years old. And has been spent nearly 3 years of his life in Iraq. To me, that would seem like a lifetime. Wouldn't it to you as well? Wouldn't it just seem like a lifetime, 3 years in that hellhole? Sure would to me. But, you know, regardless, the GOP is trying to use this war. Somehow they're ace in the hole, how they're fighting them over there so we don't have to fight them here, you know. We talked about that yesterday, and I defy any Republican to contact me and let me know one thing, that fighting them over there and spending $318 billion over there, tell me one thing that has done to keep us from fighting them over here. If you think for 1 minute that this Bush war in Iraq is going to keep terrorists out of this country, you have lost your frickin' mind. Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld, and now, you know, Tony Snow is beginning to really irritate me. Really, really irritate me. I mean, he always drank the Kool-Aid, but my God, he's immersed in it now. He's pathetic. I always kind of liked him as a man. He was, you know, he's pathetic. You know, it's just pathetic when you know a man like Tony Snow And I'll just say it the way I feel it. When you know a man like Tony Snow is down on his knees underneath the Oval Office desk for money. Because that's what he acts like. A man supposedly that had some moral, some character. God. But anyway, they're up to their scare tactics again. And I saw a great article today in the Washington Post. And if you don't read the Washington Post, give it a try. Yeah, you'll like it. I know a lot of you do. Harold Meyerson had an article in there today that I just couldn't pass up. And I wanted to be sure that everybody heard it. So I wanted to read it to you today. And this, again, this is by Harold Meyerson. With fewer than 60 days remaining before the November election, the only two Republican strategies left standing are to scare the public about the Democrats collectively or to slime the Democrats individually. The scare campaign is simply harder to wage this year than it was in 2002 and 2004 when Bush, Rove, and Company convinced just enough voters that the Democrats couldn't be trusted to take on the terrorist. But the public isn't falling for the third iteration of the scare campaign. Not yet, anyway. So the Republicans have fallen back on slime. According to a report in Sunday's Post by Jim Vanderhey and Chris Caliza, the National Republican Congressional Committee plans to spend more than 90% of its $50 million plus advertising budget on what officials described as negative ads that attack Democrat candidates on their business dealings, legal battles, and legislative votes that can be taken out of context. What's a party to do when its high road leads nowhere but down? The Republicans tried privatizing Social Security, but their numbers never added up. They tried spreading democracy with unilateral preventive war, but instead unleashed a sectarian bloodbath. So the party of big ideas, of Milton Friedman and the neoconservatives, is now just one big swift boat flotilla. Its ideas sunk of their own dead weight, kept afloat solely by its opposition research. Man, you can't say it any better than that. You really cannot say it any better than that. I hate these people. And it's getting worse every day. The more you see about them, the more you see about them, the more you just can't stand. You just cannot stand them. So, well, hey, we're going to take a quick break. And we will be back in a minute or two.
I am the happy senator elected on my own. When I speak out, I love to hear the right wing whine and moan. Hillary. Line. I'm not a left-wing nut. The GOP can't understand. It makes them bust a gut. Hillary.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got
to
go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days, so surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Oh, yeah. Back with you here on the Guy James Show today. Glad to have all of you along with us, all you folks over at Democratic Underground and folks at Democrats.com, SmirkingChimp.com. Ah, yeah. Radio Power. Hello to all the folks over at Radio Power. And, of course, the Head On Radio Network chat room. Glad to have all of you guys along with us this afternoon. And, hey, I'm not gonna stand for this. I will not stand for this. I want you to know who's in control here on the Guy James Show. You have to call 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. We've got lines open. I expect to hear from you because you're the important people. And that's what this show is about. This show is about trying to convince the people that they own this government, that they own this land, that they are in charge. You are in charge, not the people that work for us in Washington. And we've got to get this changed around. Somehow, 435 representatives in the House and 100 senators and a president and a vice president and a secretary of state and defense and the whole cabinet, somehow a small group of people there, what is that, about 600 people altogether? Somehow, they've decided that this is their place. They've decided that this is their land to do with as they will. They've decided that this is their own private little bank that they can rob and pillage and rape and steal and take anything they want. And they've been doing a damn good job of it for the last 6 years. And you know what? We haven't stopped them, have we? We have not stopped them. So that's what this program is about, to convince everybody that it is time to take this country back from the most evil, sinister, nasty, filthy group of people who have ever been power in this country and maybe in any other. They're despicable. I can't say enough about them. I never could. I never could. Hey, let's head on over to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Yeah, this is Sarge. How you doing, Guy?
Hi, Sarge.
Hey, before we make any comments on what you're talking about, let me bring up the subject of our Powers and Morrison.com reporter that was arrested Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
You know about it, and yeah. I'm on. He was arrested because he was sitting in his hotel room in the Powers and Morrison.com chat room. And he got a knock on the door. He had heard some gunshots outside. So he went, answered the door, and the cops arrested him for suspicious activities. Now, what activities he was involved in is hardly, definable, because he had been at Camp Democracy covering it for Powers and Morrison.
There you go.
And so they arrested him, detained him for 48 hours. They took two cameras. They cleaned his machine, his computer off, all the information off his computer. They destroyed his pictures or took them, whatever. And all of that has not been returned to him as of this date.
Wow.
So You know, when Bush and Cheney and all them liars get to talking about their war on terror and stuff, don't believe it for 1 minute.
Well,
these guys are terrorists. And for that guy that sent you that email, guy, just send him down here to Jackson County, Mississippi. I guarantee you, he spends about a month here, he'll be ready to change his mind just real, real fast.
Well, the Bush war on terror started within the borders of this country, on our own citizens. And I don't know if you saw the story. I suppose everybody did. That the Army, was it? No, Air Force. The Air Force came up with some new weapons, crowd control, high power microwave devices that they're going to use in a military situation. And the leaders of the Air Force. Well, I don't know what we got. Some kind of background coming in off your phone there, Sarge.
Okay, I'll hang up and let you go.
All right. Yeah, the Air Force, the head of the Air Force says, we're going to test them on citizens here in this country first. Yeah, we'll try to use them for crowd control and so forth. Non-lethal weapons such as high-power microwave devices should be used on American citizens in crowd control situations before being used on the battlefield, the Air Force Secretary said Tuesday. Can you imagine that any time in modern history anybody would have the balls to say that and have it put on the front page of put on CNN's website, actually saying they're going to test weapons on American citizens first? That's how far it's out of control, folks. Back to the phones. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Yeah, hi, Guy. Phil out in Daytona Beach, Florida. How are you?
Hi, Phil.
Hi, I'm the one who emailed you that Paul Hipp video, 2,600 souls.
Ah, yes.
You mentioned you might put it on the show, and the message at the end, we want to take our country back. It's a wonderful music video, but regarding the 435 in Congress now that should be booted out, we've got a couple here in Florida that would be good replacements, if you don't mind me mentioning them.
Go right ahead.
Sam Simpson over in the Florida's 10th woman, grandma for peace there, www.samsimpsonforcongress.com. And then there's old Bob Bowman over on the other coast in the 15th district, oldman206.com. These folks, they want to go in and do our bidding, represent us, and I encourage the listeners to check out their websites. There was a Veterans for Peace and 9/11 Truth event over there the other day, September 11th. Ray McGovern was there. They're showing the films, questioning the official 9/11 story, and I think it's a patriotic duty to question our government. We don't propose to have all the answers, but let's question it.
That's right. That's right. That's absolutely right. Somebody asked me the other day, what do I think happened on 9/11? I said, and I'll probably answer it this way the rest of my life, I'm not sure what happened on 9/11. But what I do know, I'm not sure what actually did happen, but what I am damn sure didn't happen is that we haven't gotten to the bottom of it, not even close, and we will never, as long as we have a government in like right now, we'll never find out the details, everything that the public should know.
And we owe it to the victims, we owe it to
absolutely.
The victims' families, we owe it to the troops, the dead troops. We owe it to us.
And we owe it to all the kids that are over there now. You know, I saw a couple of them interviewed on CNN the other night, and it pains me that some of our kids are over there that have been bamboozled by these people, by the recruiters and by our governments. Well, we're over here protecting America, you know, because of 9/11. And, you know, to hear a soldier over there say that, I'm thinking, oh, boy, you know, they've beat that into them with, you know, day in and day out, and they've had to swallow it, and it's just
Well, Guy and Sarge will tell you, and everybody, we're responsible. This country is we the people, and we got a responsibility to get to the truth so our kids aren't over there on a lie. And so it's time to get off our butts, and I know you have been, and Sarge and other folks, but we got to grab our neighbors and get them off their butts, too, and let's go pursue the truth wherever it takes us. and get this country right again.
That's right. We can take it, whatever the truth is. But let's know it.
Sam Simpson, S-A-M-M Simpson for Congress in Florida's 10th, and Bob Bowman, combat veteran for Congress in Florida's 15th. Please, folks, try to support these folks and these patriots, and we'll get them in Congress to do our bidding, get things right
again.
All
righty. Hey, thanks for your call.
Thank you, guy.
Don't know what happened to the phone here. Why do people do that? We had all the lights lit up on the phone, and all of a sudden all of them disappeared. And I know there's nothing wrong with the phone. Why do you call and hang on for 2 or 3 minutes while someone's talking and then hang up? I don't know. I wish I knew that. I don't know. 3:30. We're not going to have any big interviews today. Tomorrow, I do want to let you know we're going to have Mozambeg on. He wrote the book that I've got sitting right here that some of you probably heard about, The Enemy Combatant, My Imprisonment at Guantanamo, Bagram, and Kandahar. One of the most riveting books that I think I've seen in a very, very long time. My, oh my, oh my. What this guy's been through. And we will be calling him in London tomorrow because he's not allowed in the U.S. Not allowed in the USA. So we'll be calling him in the suburb of London tomorrow and talking to him then. So, man, it's absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254 if you'd like to give the program a call. You know, you think back this whole week, everybody's going to be talking about 9/11 a lot and so forth. I mean, we expected that, absolutely expected it. And it fascinates me that this president, the opportunity that this president was handed, whether accidentally by Osama bin Laden or purposefully by shadier elements of our own secret government, But the opportunity that was handed him 5 years ago was simply squandered. What should have been the opportunity of a lifetime for this president has turned out to prove our worst fears, that this man simply is not up to the job that he's been handed on a silver platter. No president has worked harder than this one at dividing the American people. And never has fear been peddled so relentlessly. Power gained in such a way can't be sustained, and Bush's power is, as you have all noticed, steadily eroding. And he's got nothing but fear to hold his administration up now. Nothing but fear. And as much as I believe it was never possible for George Bush, with his limited knowledge and his very, very damaged character, God, it still pains me to this day to think that all the people on the religious right bought this character issue of his. Bought it. Hook, line, and sinker. Oh, he's a nice fellow. A good religious fellow. But I don't know how we could have expected him to behave in any other way, knowing what we knew about him. And it's sad that at this critical time in our history, we've been cursed with a leader that can only inflict harm and incite violence. And through his incompetence, how can you say it any other way? Incompetence and willful neglect, he leaves chaos and destruction in his wake no matter where he goes. And I said, when this man was elected, practically on the eve of him announcing that he had the presidency, I appeared on a local radio program. And people really, really criticized me harshly because this is a right-wing area. But I said history will judge him as the worst president this nation has ever known. I knew his character. I knew his family's background. I knew his brother Jeb's background, his brother Neil's background. I knew all their background. His mother. One only has to take a look at that entire family to know that there is not one rotten apple in the barrel. The entire barrel is apple. It is rotten. The whole barrel of apples is rotten. And we knew that from day one. The nation should have known it. But the media in this country shirked their duty and didn't make this country aware of what kind of a man was going to be taking over the power, the reins of power in the Oval Office of this country. He was thrust into office with no idea what he was doing. A puppet on the PNAC group strings. A puppet of Dick Cheney and Wolfowitz and Richard Pearl and Feith and, you know, the whole filthy gang of them. But history's going to judge him harshly. And that doesn't mean that we can't as well. A couple of nights ago, Keith Olbermann used the term impeachable offense. And that is where we are. The only way that 9/11 can become a truly unifying day is to rid the country of the biggest wedge separating us from one another, and that is one George W. Bush. But, and I know you've all noticed, there are some signs, there are some very encouraging signs that this long-awaited pendulum that swings back to a less extreme political and social center may be on its way. The Bush administration's fear-mongering, I think, is increasingly falling on deaf ears. The public taste for this regressive GOP policy of theirs, as well as their cronyism and their corruption, I really think the public tolerance and taste for it is waning, and the fear of accountability and real oversight, regardless of what Dick Cheney says in Washington, D.C., is growing. It sincerely is. And I know you all, and proof of that is, I know you've seen the story, but imagine this. Whoever thought that this would happen in the United States of America? The United States of America, the Washington Post is reporting on CIA officers buying legal insurance out of fear they could face criminal charges relating to their treatment of prisoners in secret detention facilities around the world. Our CIA. Now that George Bush has admitted the existence of these facilities, it could only be a matter of time before the Congress grows a conscience and investigates this administration's practice of this extraordinary rendition and torture of prisoners. And I wouldn't be surprised if Wright and Company, the company that's offering legal insurance to government agents, stops taking on new clients at some point. What with all the folks in D.C. that could be in legal trouble soon. And also encouraging is that roll call is now referring to Rick Santorum as the Republicans' most vulnerable incumbent. Nothing would make me very much happier than to see Rick Santorum run out of Washington, D.C. on a rail. That this Bible-thumping, hypocritical, bestiality-obsessed, sanctimonious numbskull became a senator in the first place is just disheartening. But at least the people of Pennsylvania have come to their senses and appear ready to dump his ass, saving the rest of them from having to listen to their rabid senator would be... I couldn't stand the sight of the man from day one. How could the people of Pennsylvania have been so fooled? And please, Pennsylvanians, don't let us down again. Don't let another ass like this go to the United States Senate again. Don't let him back in there. You know, all things being fair and above board, and that's a big question, it seems clear that the Democrats will be able to take over at least one chamber of the Congress, despite the redrawn districts that virtually ensure that incumbents win. And as I've said before, the Democrats not only have to win this November, they have to win big. Big. And anyone that thinks that the GOP in this administration is above fixing elections hasn't been paying attention. Nor should they. You know, they shouldn't answer the phone for fear of being suckered into buying swampland in Florida. It should concern all of us that Bush is so confident the Republicans will retain control of the Congress, despite all the evidence to the contrary. It suggests that he knows something that the rest of us don't. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that? He says, where was he? I've got a note here somewhere. He was on Wall Street Journal's editorial page interviewing with the editor. And Bush was commenting on how he planned to resurrect his push to change Social Security next year when he was reminding that some polls show Democrats were likely to win control of at least the House. He said, I just don't believe it, he told Paul Gigot, according to an account published Saturday. He said, I believe Republicans will end up running the House and the Senate. The president was quoted as saying in an interview Thursday aboard Air Force One, said his confidence is based on his belief that the voters will be convinced that Republicans were right to cut taxes to stimulate the economy, blah, 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 blah. He seems awfully confident of this, folks. Yeah, it worries me. So, again, the only way we're going to beat the Republicans is to beat them badly and then pay attention. And we cannot allow ourselves to be suckered by the barrage of negative personal attacks on Democratic candidates that are most certainly on the way. And more importantly, we have to pay attention to what happens after the vote. Talk to the neighbors, watch the vote counting process, and look outside the local paper for news about how these congressional races actually went. So, you know, surely there will be more glitches and broken machines and unexplainable vote tallies all across the country, and it'll matter how we react to these things. They had a big mess in Maryland yesterday. Big mess in Maryland yesterday. So if it looks fishy, it probably is, and sitting on the sidelines is no longer an option. We're not going to let 2000 happen again. We're not going to let 2004 Ohio happen again. This administration has been actively running afoul of federal and international law for far too long, and we desperately need some oversight. That bastard Dick Cheney on Meet the Press Sunday said that he's not at all afraid of a real congressional oversight. Logic tells me that his lack of concern has more to do with his confidence than Congress will remain friendly to his administration because they've got the fix in. We're not going to let it happen. And I ask you to remember. You remember the Ukraine a couple of years ago? You remember the huge throngs of people wearing orange shirts as a show of solidarity that they were not going to allow their so-called government to get away with subverting the will of the people through crooked elections? Well, get your orange shirts ready, folks, because we may need them. We may need them. Don't you think for one minute that they won't fix this election? Don't you think they're not at work at it right now, day and night, 24/7? They are at work on it right now, and that is not a tinfoil hat position. That is not at all. We've had more than ample proof in 2000 and 2004 that these people hijacked two elections. More than ample proof. And anybody that brings it up and anybody that mentioned, oh, they're crazy, they're conspiracy theorists, that is not the case. Yes, there have been some wild accusations made, but there's also been one hell of a lot of proof that these people finagled the system, lied, cheated, and stole, and did whatever they had to put their people in office. This time, we're not going to put up with it. Let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Good afternoon, Guy. Bill from Toledo.
Hiya, Bill.
Listen, Guy, apologies are in order for you. That was me who I lost you on the line there twice, and I had phone trouble on my end.
Oh, okay. So, well, you simply must go out and buy a brand new phone.
I'm working the best I can, Guy, here. I'm working like you with bad equipment.
Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Now I've got all new equipment.
Well, listen here, Guy. I wanted to tell you, I doubled down last night. I took care of you, and then I took care of Sherrod Brown.
Hey, all right. All right, Dan. And thank you. And I think I did send you a thank you note. And also,
yeah, you did. You don't have to thank me. The thank is all on your end, Guy.
Well,
I thank you so much.
And I thank you for supporting Sherrod Brown. I tell you, that's a big race, and I see that Mikey Weiner-DeWine has closed the gap a little bit, but Sherrod's still got a 5 or 6 point lead on him.
I talked to the lady that holds the purse strings, and she said, and for who? And I said, Sherrod Brown. And she said, who? And I said, he's run against DeWine. She said, okay. I knew if I was to put DeWine in there, that'd go over easy. So she said, yeah, that's fine with me.
Yeah, DeWine, so, he needs to go.
That Sherrod Brown, what was he, a two-pack, a cigarette-based smoker or something? With his
you know,
voice.
I don't know. I've never seen him smoke. And actually, I've been around him, you know, not every day, but I've been around him quite a few times, and I've never seen him smoke. But
because I just think that that guy's presidential material. I've done downloaded a bunch of videos, you know, and done that ACL or ACIO or whatever it is, a conference that they had July the 12th of this year, and he was on there guest speaker for an hour and 15 minutes.
Is
he good to listen to? Like, you know, you listen to him on your show and that, and but then when you just get up and hear him talk, and of course I listened to a bunch of that conference last night, and boy, he's real. I just think if it wasn't for that voice, he's a good-looking guy. Man, maybe we could get him in maybe 6 or 8 years or whatever down the road and get him to run for president. I love the guy.
Well, he's just smart as a whip, and he's so engaging and so friendly, and you know, I love the guy, and any position in this country, he is qualified and he's ready for. I would back Sherrod Brown for president in a New York minute. I certainly would.
Well, absolutely. That's what I said when I said about that voice. I said, he's got that kind of gravelly voice.
Yeah.
You know? But he's a sharp-looking guy, and he's well-spoken. And, boy, I just think, like you said, in a New York minute, you better believe it.
And he's represented a lot of real people, you know, the Lorain area, the people, working union, hard-working people. Not mostly rich folks, but the working man, and he knows all about it. And he's a union supporter. He's a hell of a good guy. I like him. we were in Washington a while back, and there's a room down in the basement actually of the Capitol building, and they set up interviews down there with us when Bob Graham was there and Ted Kennedy, a bunch of them were there, and anyway. I said, "Who do you want? Who do you want to interview first, man? All these big shots were there, but I said, I want to talk to Sherrod Brown.
You know, did you get to talk to him, guy?
About 20 minutes. Taped a nice interview with him and so forth, and he's just a terrific guy. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, and then I see in the polls for some information. I'm sure you know it, but." He's 45 to 37, 8% undecided, and they say once an incumbent goes below 50, they're in serious trouble of losing that seat.
Well, that's great. I hadn't seen the 45-37. That's darn good news to me.
Yeah, I believe that come out, I believe it was late August or something like that, guy.
Mm-hmm.
So, besides those numbers, I have to give you some numbers today, guy.
All right.
And I'm sure you know what these numbers are. We broke a record, United States number one. We're number one, guy, as far as trade. We broke our old record set in last October of a $66 billion trade deficit and ran it up for July of $68 billion.
Man,
we beat about $2 billion.
Nothing like progress, you know. You hate to be.
Isn't it?
Is that
fantastic? that I'm giving to you here.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, just
this,
nothing worse than sitting still.
Yeah, and you know, I had some information on that, and it's trade draft deficits, from what I understand, have a direct impact on wages, and they're especially for the non-college educated workers, who make up three-quarters of the U.S. labor force.
Mm.
Why the increase in the loss of health care? Loss of good jobs. Why the increase in bankruptcies? High costs of paying for health care. Now, most of the economists acknowledge that the responsibility for the 20 to 25% of the increase in inequity and a 40% of the total income is due to a loss of unions and the erosion of the minimum wage. So it just everything falls in order, and that's why this working class, you know, they say these deadbeats that are filing for bankruptcy. Of course, they can't do that now. I don't know what are those people going to do, Guy.
Going to be a tough road to hoe. They're going to be slaves for the rest of their lives. That's just the way they got it planned.
I don't know. I've got one through college, but I'm even worried about my son's getting to graduate in May next year of where he's going to go and what he's going to do with it. He has pretty high hopes. And, you know, I try to keep him in an upbeat, you know, as far as the labor force and what kind of job he'll be able to get once he's gets out. But well, it has me just as worried as can be.
Well, I've got a niece graduating from the university in Ohio. I'm going to be coming home for next spring, and and she is going to be leaving the state, a lifelong resident, and she's probably going to be leaving the state to get a job. She's going to be going.
They have to, Guy, because yeah. I just checked out a map today before your show came on, and it shows all the states who have the big increase in. You know, as far as jobs and stuff like that, Florida is number one. Of course, you already know that.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just they got to move out to the West Coast. Or but as far as Ohio or Indiana or Kentucky or Tennessee or any of these states, there's just so many of them that on that map was white that's showing no growth at all. It's just unbelievable. It's, you know, you go out there to Washington State and California and you go out west, Nevada. Those guys are doing okay. But as far as us people in the Rust Belt in Michigan, we're just hanging on is all we're doing.
Well, I can tell you this. There's going to be an awful lot of people from Florida moving back north again soon.
You think so? Isn't that the way it usually works, though, Guy?
Well, they're going to be moving halfway. If I've heard one, I've heard a thousand say they're going to move to the Carolinas. The insurance here is not affordable for retired folks anymore. And,
isn't it, Guy, that, excuse me for interrupting you, isn't it, Guy, that once you have these big boom states, that all of a sudden it's bust?
Well,
that it's been so heavy.
It could go on for a long time here, but if it were it not for the insurance, and the insurance is just breaking people. I mean, it's just it's taking people down, and you know, I'm flabbergasted when I look at my insurance bill. I mean, my neighbors and I, we got together and talked about it. I mean, it's like a nightmare. It's just unbelievable. But oh well. Hey,
well, listen, Guy, as always, it's great talking to you. And say, hey, some of you people out there, let's send in some checks and let's keep this guy going. I appreciate your time today, Guy.
Thank you, Bill.
Okay. Bye bye.
I see somebody brought up on the chat room. Tell you, says if Ken Blackwell wins, Elo said this. If Ken Well wins his bid for governor here, I'm packing my bags and getting out. Ken Blackwell's not going to win that governor's race in Ohio. If I'll tell you this right now, if Ken Blackwell wins the governor's race in Ohio, stop the train right then and there, lock down everything in Ohio, lock down Ohio, lock down every voting machine, every voting booth, everybody that had anything to do it, and start checking. Because if Ken Blackwell wins in Ohio, you will know, you will have all the proof you would ever need that something is terribly, terribly wrong. Terribly wrong. Because Ken Blackwell, first of all, and you folks that know me, you know how I mean this. You know doggone well how I mean this. Ken Blackwell is not going to win the governorship of Ohio because he's black. Because the Republican base there will not vote a black man in his government. They will not. That's a Republican base. And Ken Blackwell is a black man, and he should have thought about that. Oh, sure, Ken, we'll let you be Secretary of State. Yeah, Ken, after Marianne Withrow leaves, we'll appoint you as Treasurer of the State of Ohio, but we're not giving you the governorship, Ken Blackwell, because you're a black man, and we're Republicans, and there's no way in hell that Republicans are going to put a black man in as governor as the State of Ohio. So if he shows up winning that election, you know something went terribly wrong in Ohio. Terribly wrong. It's the only way he could win. He does not have the Republican base behind him. He does not. Which reminds me. I want to give you another example of more Republican family values, another conviction of a Republican for election fraud, Tom Noe, the GOP fundraiser at the heart of Ohio's biggest political scandal in a generation, was sentenced today. That was yesterday, actually, I think it was. No, maybe it was today. 27 months in a federal prison for illegally funneling money into... No. No, this can't be. This can't be. This is a misprint. Illegally funneling money into President Bush's reelection campaign? Can't be. Could never happen. U.S. District Court Judge David Katz also ordered Noe to pay $136,200 in fines for sending more than $45,000 into a 2003 Bush fundraiser by using two dozen friends and associates, including several current and former local Republican elected officials from Toledo, I might add, huh, Bill? In violation of federal election laws. They all said, huh, we didn't know that. We didn't know that when we gave him the money and we didn't know. We just didn't know. And Noe even implicated the White House. Noe said he arranged the schemes because in 2003, I was pressured. I love this. I was pressured by Bush-Cheney officials to become a pioneer. A name the campaign gives to people who raise $100,000. The scandal may have an impact on this fall's election. You think? I said they beg, borrow, and steal. What more? Here's the stealing. And Noe hasn't even faced the fact yet of stealing God knows how much money from the people of the state of Ohio. Oh no, he hasn't. Is he going to trial on that? Did anybody in Ohio know? Are they dropping that? The coin fund, the rare coin fund that he was in charge of, lost millions and millions of state dollars. Oh. I hope they lean on him. I hope they lean on him hard. And to be fair, put him in the cell with Jim Traficant, a Democrat from Youngstown. Yes, a Democrat. I hated Traficant. I knew he was filthy from the very beginning. So we're equal opportunity bashers here. So, put Noe in a cell with Traficant. And Traficant and his hairpiece there, and they can just have a good old time together. But I got a feeling that Tom Noe hasn't seen the end of his legal troubles as of yet. I certainly hope not, because he's got a lot to answer for besides just this raising money for Junior Bush's campaign. Oh, they put pressure on him, he said, to become a pioneer. Pressure? What kind of pressure? Hey, Tom, you better raise some more dough for us, or we're going to spill the beans about you taking that money from the coin fund. That kind of pressure? Huh? That kind of pressure? Maybe so. Just maybe so. Hey, you're listening to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. Do remember that after our program's over at 5 o'clock today, we've got Bruce Birch coming up. Bruce always has an entertaining show. I sometimes get to listen while I'm eating dinner. And after that, Bob Kincaid. Bob will be on from 7 to 10. And then after that, going to have some old IE America programs of Mike Malloy. Most entertaining. Most entertaining. You know that. Don't have to tell you that. So, we're going to pause for the news at the top of the hour. Don't you go anywhere. And we'll be back at about 5 after. So get yourself something cold to drink. Peanut butter and jelly sandwich, after school snack, I don't know what. And we'll be back with you pretty soon.
Quality News Network. The Senate's most moderate Republican, Rhode Island's Lincoln Chafee, has beaten back a conservative challenge and won his primary. In other races, former Congressman Kwesi Mfumi lost to Ben Cardin in the Democratic race to replace Senator Paul Sarbanes, who's retiring in Maryland. And New York Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton easily won her primary with 80% of the vote. The Atlantis crew has wound up another 6-hour spacewalk, the second in 2 days. The third and final spacewalk will take place on Friday. Air Force Secretary Michael Wynn is suggesting that the military's non-lethal weapons should be tested first by using them as crowd control on American citizens before the military uses them on the battlefield. Another deadly day in Iraq, where bombings and mortar attacks have killed as many as 39 people, most of them Iraqi police. Dozens were wounded. In addition, the bodies of 67 men have been found in and around Baghdad, most of them tortured and shot to death. The gunman wounded when he and three others tried unsuccessfully to storm the U.S. Embassy in Damascus yesterday has died from his injuries. The other three were all killed during the attack. Syrian officials confirmed that all four were Syrians, likely part of an al-Qaeda splinter group. NATO says suicide bombings in Afghanistan have killed 173 people this year, most of them civilians. An appeal by NATO's top operational commander in Afghanistan for 2,000 additional troops has so far been unanswered by any of the 26 NATO nations. In Southern California, firefighters are continuing to battle an out-of-control 25,000-acre brush fire burning about 40 miles north of Los Angeles. It's close to the Interstate 5, one of California's busiest highways. The fire forced the closure of the interstate for several hours both yesterday and Monday. Forecasters say that Hurricane Gordon is gaining strength in the Atlantic but is not expected to hit land. Right behind Gordon is Tropical Depression Helene, which is also expected to become a non-threatening hurricane. The National Transportation Safety Board is beginning to study motorcycle accidents for the first time, now that statistics show that fatalities are outpacing the increase in ridership. Over the past 10 years, there's been a 230% increase in motorcycle fatalities in men over the age of 40, and fatalities are also higher for seniors who ride motorcycles. The number of casualties from landmines was up 11% last year, despite an increase in efforts to remove them. The Landmine Monitor report for 2006 says more than 7,300 people were injured or killed by the mines last year, 20% of them children in 60 countries around the world. This is the Quality News Network. Business and science are coming up next. It's 2:30 the hour.
In addition to producing and distributing the finest hourly newscasts in the country, the Quality News Network conducts interviews with 2006 candidates. We afford congressional and gubernatorial challengers of every political stripe the opportunity to illuminate their views and to demonstrate their character in a 20-minute network-quality interview. We perform this public service to enable voters to get a better listen to the people they might consider electing to high office. Because as Thomas Jefferson said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. If you want to know more about who is running in the November elections, go to qualitynewsnetwork.com and click on 2006 candidates. If we are to get America back on track, we need to elect people who can lead us in the right direction. Now, back to the news.
A new bird species has been discovered in India, the first there in 50 years. The multicolored bird was discovered in May by an amateur ornithologist, but not announced until the bird could be confirmed as the new species. Foreclosures of U.S. homes are continuing to rise. In August, more than 115,000 homes entered foreclosure, 24% higher than July and 53% higher than a year ago. Florida had the most last month, 16,500. But in terms of percentage increases, Nevada is number one, with foreclosures there up 255% from a year ago. In California, they're up 160%. California's Attorney General says although the investigation is continuing, he already has enough evidence for indictments in connection with the Hewlett-Packard spy scandal case. Pfizer has won a victory against an Indian company that wants to put out a generic version of Lipitor, Pfizer's popular cholesterol-thinning drug. But the District Court of The Hague has ruled that the Indian company must wait until Pfizer's patent runs out in the year 2011. And the New York Times says it plans to sell its 9 television stations. Gold is trading at $594.70 an ounce at this hour. Light sweet crude is up by 59 cents a barrel, trading at $64.35. On Wall Street, all the markets are higher. The Dow up 30 points at 11,528. NASDAQ is up 8 points at 2,223. And the S&P 500 is up 4 at 1,317. There's always more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Diana Walter, and it's now 5 minutes past the hour.
Can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you've read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Welcome back, everybody. Glad to have all of you with us this afternoon. Got a huge audience this afternoon, and you never believe what happened while we were on the break at the news. Sometimes strange things happen. You know, we had a caller call in just a few minutes ago, and I know you all heard that. We're talking about various candidates around the country, and we had spoken about Sherrod Brown up in Ohio, and somebody called in and mentioned Sam Simpson, the grandma that's running over in the Florida 10th, and we happen to have somebody from their campaign office called in during the news at the top of the hour. I said, well, hang on. You can just tell us about it. Are you there?
I sure am, sir.
Hey, thanks for giving us a call. What's your name?
Hey, my name's Mike Fox, F-O-X, just like the animal, and I genuinely appreciate you folks spend a little bit of time with us.
Well, what a wild coincidence this was.
Yeah, this is great stuff.
Yeah, we didn't plan this.
Great stuff.
Tell us about your candidate.
Thank you so much. Reader's Digest version. I'm not sure what was suggested previously, but we are the very first campaign in the history of Pinellas County down here to get a candidate for federal office onto the ballot via petition. That'll tell you enough about the campaign right there, what we're talking about. This is a people-in-the-street kind of campaign. Sam, the whole reason why I volunteer over 60 hours a week with her campaign, and that is confirmable, I'll be more than happy to confirm that, the whole reason I do is because this is a woman who never had any aspirations whatsoever towards public life. But over the past 6 years has been just concerned enough about the direction her country is going in that as a result of watching the State of the Union address in January, she just said something has to be done here. I don't know what it is I can do, but I'm going to find out what I can do. She found out that nobody was going to stand up against the 36-year incumbent in this district, Republican Bill Young. For those who aren't initiated, he's the ex-head of the Appropriations Committee. The man obviously was in charge as our treasury was being looted and is now the head of the subcommittee on defense appropriations. Been here for 36 years, don't wish to impugn the man's character in any way. However, he just represents everything that is wrong with our system currently. Whenever I'm speaking with not only Democrats, independents, libertarians, you name it, and that concern, of course, being the balance of power that we find lacking in Washington right now, lack of accountability, our treasury being looted, etc. Sam jumped headlong in front of the train, as they say, and I tossed my body in front of it with her. And since that time, they told us, we got into this campaign 5 weeks before we had to have petitions in. And this is just absolutely insane. Other people have tried it for like over a year and have failed doing it. In 5 weeks, we got it done. That's how much folks are interested in change down here in Pinellas County. So obviously, we're excited.
Wow, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And how about funding? How are you doing?
Thank you for asking that question.
Hey, I'm a Democrat. That's the first question you always got to ask.
Amen. But my immediate response is, our vision is that one of the evils in the political system up to this point is the whole pay-to-play situation. Like, for example, with the petition situation. Any yahoo walking down the street, if they can pony up $10,000, can get on the ballot officially. Now, that's just evil, you know, that you have to pay money to do so. That's why we did the whole petition approach. We are first and foremost about votes, not about dollars. However, since you have brought up dollars, of course, it's an uphill battle. I'll be wholeheartedly candid with you. We are one of over 100 candidates running on the Democratic ticket right now across the country for Congress who have not seen a dime from the Democratic Party. 100 candidates.
Hmm.
Now that's an amazing statistic, I know, but we are a member of an email list, and there's over 100 of us, and we are one of those 100. So, needless to say, we're looking for money anyway that we can get it in $5, in $10, in $20, et cetera, et cetera. We had our best fundraiser ever this past Sunday as Ray McGovern came into town. God bless his soul, came into town to spread the truth. And to likewise help us out in a very, very big way, doing not only a huge public event, but then immediately going from the public event to a private affair as well. So we had hundreds of people in one space. We had 25, 30 people in the other space. Everyone with smiles on their faces and giving what they could. So as we speak, obviously there is no way that we are going to be able to raise anywhere close to as much money as our opponent. He can outraise us with 4 telephone calls. Just talking to a few of his millionaire friends. But anything that anyone can do, $5, $10, $20, et cetera, they can donate via our website. If I may plug, that?
Yes, you may, of course.
Well, thank you so much. www.samsimpson4congress.com. S-A-M-M, two M's in Sam. Simpson, S-I-M-P-S-O-N, 4, F-O-R, Congress.com. And you can see there are places where you can join the all-volunteer army that we've got going on here. Everyone needs to know that there isn't a single salaried person attached to this campaign. Everyone is volunteer.
Excellent.
Every single dollar is going into signs, into bumper stickers, and very soon into a targeted cable buy.
Very good. Very good. Well, thanks so much for giving us a call. And send me that email that I told you about, and the info, and we'll keep on it, and we'll get her on.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Have a great what's left of your day.
Thanks. Well, yeah, that was just a coincidence. One of our regular callers, and hey, I had somebody on the chat room. I was had a little thing going with here a few minutes ago, and I accidentally dumped him. So my apologies to you for that. Talking about bringing new listeners to the show, and I thank you for that. That's important. That's important that if you do enjoy this program, you enjoy any of the programs on the Head On Radio Network. Let your friends know about it. Let your friends know that there's a whole lot more. On this radio then there is just one network, and we want you to give us a try, and I think you try us, you might like us. I'm pretty doggone sure. So we'll provide you with good programming, good entertainment, good information, and I'll tell you what we'll provide you with most of all is truth. You can't ask any more than that. Truth, the pure, old, unadulterated, unvarnished truth. That's what you will get here always. You know, when we were on our terrestrial radio stations around here for the first, 3 years of this program, and we streamed it as well. I think we started doing the show 4 years and something ago, and about a month after that, we started streaming it, too. So we've been streaming it actually now longer than we were on the terrestrial, and I did radio for a long time before that, over the years, many years, not constantly over the years, but anyway, well, I don't know why I'm talking about this. Where was I going with that? I don't know. That's another thing. You don't have a producer in here to let you know where you were rambling on with something, and then you forgot about it. But it's always good to hear from new listeners. And you tell the folks that there are other games on the block, other radio shows that you can listen to right here and give you the truth. And I guess that's what I was going to say. For 3 years in this right-wing hell here, politically, and that's exactly what it is, so red you wouldn't believe it. For 3 years, I promised my audience and challenged them that if you ever caught me in a lie, ever, once, that I'd send you out to dinner to the nicest place you wanted to go in this area, you and your partner. You know what? No one ever claimed that. No one ever did. Because if you're not sure, you just don't say it. And, you know, there's times when people are mistaken, this, that, and the other thing. But you can tell when somebody's lying, just outright lying. And I always used to back that up with giving great documentation of how Limbaugh is a flat-out liar, how Hannity is a flat-out liar. Who else? I'll tell you one. You guys ever, do you live in an area where they got this Mike Gallagher on? This freak Mike Gallagher? Radical right-wing, evangelical Christian, goofy Mike Gallagher. He's got a lot of listeners, don't get me wrong. He's syndicated on a lot of shows. I don't know where he's out of, whether he's still in Texas or Atlanta or whatever, I don't know. But he's nuts. Anyway, when I went down to Crawford, Texas last year, and did the show there at Camp Casey, and we were uptown. We were uptown at the Peace House, and we did an interview up there with Cindy Sheehan, and we had a nice discussion there. And Cindy said, "Well, let's. I got to go out to Camp Casey." And so we all drove out there, and we're out there. Oh, they had little. I don't know what you call them, not tents, but little canvases set up for so people could be in the shade ever so little. It was hot and nasty, and cops, sheriff department people all over the place out there, and there was this little Y in the road where everybody kind of met, and there were cars parked all up and down the road and all the crosses up and down the road and so forth. And all of a sudden, this Mike Gallagher, who I found out later had told his audience that he was going to get a busload of people and go down there and break up that whole thing and spread the truth. He shows up in this bus with about 20 geeks with him, just like him, and he gets out with a bullhorn. Now, mind you, there was no loud activity going on anywhere around here. Nothing. People were quiet. They were calm. They were civilized. It was a rather serene atmosphere. And he gets out of the bus with this bullhorn, this Mike Gallagher, and starts shouting at people. Cindy Sheehan is this, and you libs are a bunch of liars, and all this. And, you know, I'm standing 10 feet away from him. Well, I started to cross the road to go after him, and the sheriff stopped me. He said, "Yeah, I don't think you want to go over there." And I said, "Well, I think I do." He said, "No, I don't think you don't. I don't think you do." And I said, "Yeah, really, I do want to go over there. I'm going to make him eat that bullhorn." He said, "Well, not while I'm standing here, but I understand what you're saying." So the sheriff guy was real nice about it. And I didn't get... So anyway, a couple of weeks later, I wrote this Gallagher, tried to get into his show, invited him on my show. He was too much of a chicken shit coward to come on the program and say what he'd done. And so I wrote him an email and said, "I saw him there." He says, "No, you didn't see me there. And that never happened." And I said, "Well, absolutely it happened." And I end up sending him a digital picture of him. And you know what his answer was after he denied that he was there with the bullhorn saying what he was saying? You know what he answered me? Honest to God, this was his next answer after I sent him the digital picture. "Well, do you want to compare paychecks?" Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I'd lose that battle. Here's a guy that's on, I don't know, 100, 150 radio stations, syndicated, he's in the big bucks. But that was his answer after being proven to be a liar that he didn't do what we said he did with the bullhorn and all that. Had a picture. Send him a digital picture. And his comment, his only comment was, well, do you want to compare paychecks? That's so typical. Why do I bother with these people? I don't know. Hey, let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show. Hello?
Hello?
Yes?
I actually made it. Okay. Guy, I just want to tell you, first off, first time caller. In fact, first time listener. A friend of mine told me about your show. I can tell you, after 10 minutes, you got a permanent listener from now on.
Well, thank you.
You got a permanent listener, but I'm going to tell you something, Guy. I love you already, but I think you're underestimating what the Republicans are trying to do in Ohio with Kenny Blackwell.
Well, tell me.
Kind of underestimating them.
Tell me, what are they doing?
First off, granted.
You know, I'm a former Buckeye, I want you to know.
Well, hey, I'll tell you, I supported a Buckeye for president in 2004. Hey, I know how important that state is, but I'm going to tell you, I think you're underestimating what the GOP is looking at, because Ken Blackwell is part of Ken Mellman's overall strategy. They realize that in 2008 they're going to need that state again. It's going to be another dogfight, and they know getting Kenny Blackwell in there can help. And the way they're doing it, and in fact they're doing this in a lot of states right now. Ken Mellman's, are you familiar with Ken Mellman's Republican Reconciliation Days type of thing that he's been up to the last 6 months?
Oh yeah.
That's where they're sending GOP operatives, especially in the black churches, and they're saying, we're going to have times of racial reconciliation. Come on in. We're a big tent. They're using all the phony social issues they can put in on the back door to try and get people to vote against the better economic interests. They're doing it in Ohio. They're doing it where I live in Connecticut. They're doing it in a lot of states. And it's starting to show up in the polls. Blackwell's within 5% now in Ohio.
Let them try that in Franklin County, where the black people stood out in the rain because they didn't have enough voting machines to vote when there was plenty of them sitting back in the warehouses out on the east side.
I'm with you on that one, but you see, that's the other side. They're going to get diebold to try and fix it again. But the real point I want to make with you, Ken, it's not so much what the GOP is doing. It's what we in the progressive and Democratic side aren't doing. We're not covering our flank with the black community the way we need to be, and we have to get back to doing that again. But also, especially on the voter registration end, where I've been working at every election cycle and even between election cycles, we have to keep bringing new people into this process. We have to make the voter rolls on our side so big, and most of these people are the people getting hurt by GOP policies the most. We've got to keep those people coming in. We've got to show them that, hey, their program's not in their best interest, and you need to vote them out. We've got to keep them coming in, and we on the progressive side have not been doing that. And that's what allowed people like Ken Blackwell. And as a black man, I'm embarrassed for him. I'm embarrassed for him. I'm embarrassed for Lynn Swann in Pennsylvania. So many of these guys who really think that you can find some salvation with the GOP, well, I can tell you, fellas, you're going to fight damnation with the GOP if you stay with them, and so will our country. But we on the progressive side have to really cover that flank to stop the black wells, to stop so much of what Ken Mellman's trying to do, because they don't need a lot of black votes to get what they really want in 2008, which is a total turnover. They say they only need 5 to 10%. My goal is not to give them that. In fact, my goal is to take not only those black votes, but so many of those working-class progressive votes away. But the best way we can do that, we've got to not only cover that flank, we've got to open up a new offensive. We have to bring the people who aren't voting back into the fold. That's how you stop them. And that's the only way we can stop Blackwell in Ohio especially. But don't underestimate what they're trying to do there with him. There may be enough bigots in the Republican Party to block him out. But remember, there have always been bigots in the GOP. But especially under the Grover Norquist playbook, he's found a way for them to all realize that there's a bigger picture in play. Just stand. We know you don't like those black folks, but stand in line. There's a bigger picture in play. And that's how George W. Bush got elected. All the different disparate parts. The laissez-faire, we don't care, free market boys, they don't set foot in the church, but you get them linked up with the guys like Jerry Falwell. Falwell gets lined up with some of the bigot elements. Some of the other elements come in line. You notice they all stand in line. No matter what it is, they eventually stand in line.
Well,
we have to counteract that by getting more people in our line.
It's if their obvious racism can overcome, if their party loyalty can overcome their obvious racism. You know, I've told a lot of black folks over the years that Republicans, and I shouldn't say it that way. I don't know a lot of black folks that are Republicans. But I always like to tell them, just take a look at a picture of the Congress of the United States right now. Take a look at a picture of it. Take a look at the right side of the aisle and the left side of the aisle, first of all, and notice the faces in those pictures, and then tell me all the good things the Republican Party had done for the minorities in this country over the years.
Tell me about it, because I'll tell you, I'll tell you something about myself, guy. I would be the perfect picture Republican. I would be. Man, black, young, educated, like, in the market, owns property. I'd be the poster boy Republican. Except for one little thing, I know what Republicans really do to you. If you want to know what a Republican does to you, go to the zoo during mating season. I know better. The problem is, though, you get guys like Blackwell, they can get enough people who don't quite get the game or feel so disaffected because Democrats and progressives only come around during election time that they end up going the other way, and that's the biggest thing I'm worried about.
Well, and I suppose good old Pastor Rod Parsley is still doing his share up there in Ohio with his great big church trying to push Blackwell into the governor's mansion.
But you see what they're doing. Hey, where I live, they're trying to infiltrate my church too, and I'm one of the people that's telling my pastor, telling my people in that church, you better look again at these guys who are coming in here trying to sell that little bit of snake oil. And like I said, they're doing it with a lot of the social issues. For example, with my church and with a lot of churches up here in Connecticut where I live, they're trying to do with the whole gay marriage thing. They're trying to talk about this defense of marriage. And in fact, I ran into a couple of those a few days ago when I was out, trying to get people registered, saying, "Come on, brother, you are going to stand in front of a church house and go for people who don't want to defend marriage." I said, "No, actually, the Democratic Party wants to defend marriage. We want to defend marriage. What's the number one reason marriages fail? Because financial distress. So, you know what we want to do? We want to create some jobs. We want to create jobs. We don't want to give your Social Security away to Wall Street and to the credit companies. We don't want to give your health care away to the insurance companies and the big pharmaceutical companies whose only interest is in keeping you sick and keeping you broke. Those are the things we're trying to do. That's defending marriage right there. An economy that works for all of our people, that is the best defense of marriage act you're going to get.
Hey,
that's what it comes down to.
Thanks for your call. Good to hear from you. I hope you'll keep listening. And
absolutely. You keep it going, guy.
Great to have you as a new listener. Thank you. Good call. Yes, indeed. Very good call. And heck, they're all good calls. I love to hear from you people. I really do. Love to hear from you. And all the folks over at Democratic Underground and Democrats.com, I've got some good friends over there that run that site. And somebody just let me know here as an aside that the gentleman he's calling from Connecticut, but he's a very active in Pennsylvania and Ohio and a Lamont supporter. Well, hell, that's just about a perfect score, isn't it? Yes, I am an ex-Buckeye, and I'll always have Buckeye blood in me, and the Scarlet and Gray, of course, and all the other great Ohio schools too. You know, Ohio's got more big universities than any other state, I believe. When you stop and start counting them, boy, they've got a lot of great universities in Ohio. But of course, good old OSU. They're my boys. And, hey, let's go back to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show. Hello?
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
Hello?
Yes, you're on.
Guy, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, because I lost the thread of the conversation. This is Nick from Brooklyn. I lost the thread because normally when you're on hold, you get the feed from the show, and the feed sort of died, so I don't know where you went. But Gallagher, I don't know if you know this, this is his big claim to fame. He's the number one fill-in for Sean Hannity.
You know, yeah, I know. I know he does that.
He comes on, he looks like a fool. He's the guy that made that stupid remark about Kerry in the Burberry scarf or whatever it was, remember? Some ridiculous statement trying to be a paint kid. Kerry is a Frenchman and all this and that. But are you sure he's the guy that organized that stupid little thing because for some reason, I'm thinking that's that guy Glenn something or other.
Oh, no, it wasn't Glenn Beck. I mean, I was there.
Okay, you were there, so it was him, huh?
Oh, yeah.
For some reason, I thought that was one of the other right-wing nuts.
Oh, Beck might have done something like that as well, but last year at the Cindy Sheehan thing down there,
you're right. You were there, so you know. For some reason, like, when you said Gallagher, it just didn't sound like the same guy for some reason. But he's a nerd.
Yeah.
You know, he's a typical, just another shill, you know.
I noticed they haven't had him on Fox very much lately, filling in for Hannity. I think they got a little bit tired of his being so goofy.
Yeah, I know. Even Hannity makes him look bad. I mean, even Comer makes him look bad, and it's really hard to make, you know.
Yeah.
It's really hard for Comer to make anybody look bad, you know, because
right.
His job is to make everybody look good. That's the point of him being there, you know. You know, I think it's Alan Combs. Actually, no, I read his book. I actually did. I read his book. It was called Red, White, and Liberal. It's not a bad book. The guy has a great mind. I mean, the guy is a very smart guy, and he really knows his stuff. And I just wonder why he just... I mean, the paycheck, I guess. What do you think, guy? What else?
It's the paycheck. He's there to be a foil, to be the whipping boy. And he understands that, and... he is a smart guy.
I emailed him one time because one night I saw him, actually stand up for something, and I said, you know what, you've been on the show for so long, and because of the popularity of the show, you know, you right now you could probably quit that show and call your shot anywhere on any one of the other networks. You could probably get your own show, the Alan Combs Show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, he could probably, you know, especially now with things opening up, like with Keith Olbermann and everything, you know, starting to open up, you know, and you think he would do that, you know. I mean, he would be embraced by the liberal community. I mean, they would love to see him actually tell Fox to screw it, you know.
Yeah, they probably would.
Enough.
Hey, I got a whole board full here. I got to go. I appreciate your call. I really do. And it's good good to hear from Brooklyn.
All right, JJ.
Yeah,
bye-bye.
Bye now. Let's see. Let's go over. Let's try this one here. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, Guy. This is J.T. Levitatis. I'm from Dawsonville, Georgia.
Hey, how you doing? Dawsonville.
Yeah.
Home of Bill Elliott.
That's right.
Awesome Bill from Dawsonville.
Well, yeah, that's all you hear about when you live here.
How about carpet? You got carpet there, too, don't you?
I hope so.
Okay.
Well, I'm calling about the guy you were talking about, the black guy who is running... what state was that guy running in?
Ohio, Ken Blackwell.
Okay, well, I guess one reason I'm calling is, I can sort of disagree with you on that issue because we have two guys in this state who have won statewide elections, several times. One of them's our Attorney General, Thurbert Baker, and the other one's our Labor Secretary. His name's Michael Thurman.
Yeah, and they're black guys, right?
Yeah, and they're both Democrats, and they're both some of the. But I think
you said they're both. They're both Democrats.
Yeah, but we got to be careful about. Yeah, they are both Democrats. But one thing we have to be careful about is falling into that trap Republicans once said of saying, well, just because the guy's black, he can't win. Because another example I can give you. Harold Ford in Tennessee.
No, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm saying black Republican. Tell me how many black Republicans are in Congress.
He's a Republican, too?
Yeah, Blackwell's running for the governorship of Ohio. He's the Republican candidate.
Okay. Well, see, that's what I get for hearing just half of what you said.
That's okay. Yeah.
Is he progressive on any issues, or where does he stand on?
He's hardcore Bush loving, Bush boot licking. Helped put George Bush in office the last time, and he thought that just like Catherine Harris here in Florida, he thought that the Bushes would kiss his behind forever and do whatever it took to get him in office. And I don't think they will. And he's going to be surprised, is what I think.
Oh. Well, I think you're right about that.
Have you ever seen anybody abandoned so fast as Catherine Harris was here in Florida? They don't want anything to do with her.
Well, Yeah. I've got one other thing I was going to ask. Have you ever worked on any campaigns before?
Oh, yes. I've held I've held public office.
Well, a question I've got, and I've been working on a few campaigns recently. I've been putting up campaign signs I put up a lot of them for my candidate back 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they disappeared just like that. But all the Republican ones seem to stay up. Someone told me it's because I'm putting it on the public right away. Now, do you know what the rules are for putting up campaign signs? And what do people like me who are working, working for Democrats do to get on, get their names out there?
I don't know anymore what they are. I know you're not allowed to. It used to be in Ohio anyway. Last time I worked on a campaign helping put up signs, we were allowed to put them on poles and so forth, but we had to have them down the next day. But you realize that both sides have gangs that go around, carloads of people go around to tear them down, do nothing all evening, but go around and tear signs down, and they're out putting them back up the next day. But that's the way we used to have it. You could put them on the public utility poles and all that, but they had to be gone the next day. And now I understand the laws in many states are even more stringent than that. So. I don't know, and frankly, it's been so long since I put up a sign. I don't know.
Well, I think that I think Democrats have a great chance of winning back Congress this year. They just need to, remember when they used to talk about the malaise of the Carter years?
Yeah.
You know, if you want to talk about malaise, this is the Bush is nothing but malaise.
Other than his making the military industrial complex rich, what has George Bush done for America? What has this Republican Congress done? Nothing.
Exactly. And he just that word doesn't define that word defines him so clearly. I mean, it just that's who he is. And if Democrats start hammering away like they used to do at Jimmy Carter and all the Democrats in Congress, we could win for a change.
We're going to take back the House. I'm not going to be overconfident about it, but I know everybody's working hard, and I think we're going to do it. Hey, thanks for your call.
Oh, yeah, and thanks. Also, again, thanks for having Mike Malloy on. That meant a lot.
Oh, well, thanks. Yeah, heck yeah. And you know what? See, I'm just going to admit it. I was a big Bill Elliott fan, so that's why I had to know about Awesome Bill from Dawsonville. I was a big Bill Elliott fan, so he was one of the good guys. So, hey, thanks very much.
All right, it's good talking.
Yeah, bye now. A little NASCAR there for those of you that give away my age. Well, Bill was. Hot stuff back in the 80s. He was really a big NASCAR racer. And being a Ford guy, we'll start this battle. Yeah, here we go. I'll hear about this. But I always drove Ford products back then, and so I rooted for Bill Elliott, and I liked him, and he won a lot of races, and he was from Dawsonville, Georgia. So good to hear from there. What shall we do here? Let's go to a quick commercial, and we'll be back in just a moment or two.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at headonradionetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Hey, and we got that copy of the Republican... platform for the year. So let me, I'll just play a little bit. Here's the audio copy of the Republican platform.
In the heart of this great city, we saw tragedy arrive on a quiet morning. September the 11th. September the 11th. September the 11th.
September 11th. September 11th. September 11th.
September 11th.
September 11th. September 11th.
September 11th. September 11th.
September 11th. September 11th.
September 11th. September 11th. September 11th. September 11th.
September 11th. September 11th. September 11th.
September 11th. September 11th.
September 11th.
September 11th.
September 11th. 2001.
Saddam Hussein.
Saddam Hussein.
Saddam Hussein.
Saddam Hussein.
Saddam Hussein.
And there you have it. You have the Republican platform for the year 2006. Yes, indeed. That's it. That's all of it right there. September 11th, Saddam Hussein, and terror. Don't forget terror. War. We got the war. We got the war on terror. How many times did he say that in his speech the other night, terror? 17 times, was it? Man, oh man, oh man. He thinks he's talking to a sheep. Trouble is, in many cases, he is. And I suppose you saw the story today that Bush spoke. It's one of these little groups that he meets with. He doesn't like to get a public transcript out about what he said. And as far as I know, there isn't a public transcript out about what he said. But Bush said yesterday that he senses a third awakening of religious devotion in the United States that has coincided with the nation's struggle with international terrorists, a war that he depicted as a confrontation between good and evil. Yes, let's intertwine our militarism with religion and just mix it all up in one nice big stew, and then good and evil, we got all that in there too. And we, the Republicans, are very good because we are against evil of Saddam Hussein and all those people. And all the conservatives, we're all running on that. Anyways, he says this is the third awakening. And a lot of people in America see this as a confrontation between good and evil, including me, says Bush, during his one-and-a-half-hour Oval Office conversation on cultural changes and a battle with terrorists that he sees lasting for decades. There was a stark change between the culture of the 50s and the 60s. Boom. And I think there's a change happening here, he added. It seems to me that there's a third awakening. The first Great Awakening refers to a wave of Christian fervor in the American colonies from about 1730 to 1760, while the Second Great Awakening is generally believed to have occurred from 1800 to 1830. Now, some scholars and writers have debated for years whether a third awakening has been taking place, although some identify other awakenings in U.S. history. Bush aides, including Karl Rove, have read Robert William Fogel's The Fourth Great Awakening and the Future of Egalitarianism. So here we have, once again, Mr. Bush being pious, being very religious, oh so righteous. I am good. Everything I do is good. And those other people, those brown people over there that we're bombing the hell out of and killing every day, they're evil. They are evil. By their very nature, they are evil. He likes to go around quoting religious platitudes and Bible verses and talking about wearing his religion on his sleeve. And I would remind him, what profit, my brethren, through a man say he has faith and not have works? In the book of James, George Bush says he has faith, but he is a war maker. He is not a peacemaker. He takes the sword, and he won't place the sword into his sheath so long as he's the president. And he's removed a governmental power, a little Nero, if you will, in Saddam Hussein, who allowed Christian churches to be built, allowed the gospel to be preached, and kept the Shia and Sunni from murdering one another and from burning the churches to the ground. My things have changed. I don't care from what angle you look at it. Things have changed desperately. And Richard Engel, you all know who Richard Engel is, one of NBC's reporters on the ground in Iraq. Heck of a reporter. I've always respected Richard Engel a lot. If you ask me what his politics are, I'd have to tell you I have no idea, because he's just a fine reporter. That's all. I have no idea what his politics are. Of course, after what I'm going to tell you here, every right winger would jump up and scream, "Oh, son of a bitch is a Republican. You can bet on that." No, you couldn't bet on that. I don't think he would have any idea. He says, "I think this is getting worse." He's on the ground, he's on Tweety Bird show, and he said, "I think this is getting worse in Iraq. Unfortunately, I think there has been a civil war that has been on the ground for about a year. There probably be another 9 or 10 years of this civil war. Maybe 250,000 people dead before this is over. I think eventually they're going to have a situation that they could have reached when the Iraqis were putting together their constitution, a loose federal state. And unfortunately, where those federal lines are divided is going to take a lot of bloodshed. And Americans are there too." Interesting, coming from Richard Engel. Very interesting. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. Love to hear from you. You still got time to call the program today. I forget who it was that called the other day. Said they're always interested in great quotes, and I am as well. I love great quotes. I found one by Dalton Trumbo. He's an author of a book called Johnny Gotti's Gun. And I think this is so spot on. Let me quote him. "You can always hear the people who are willing to sacrifice somebody else's life. They're plenty loud, and they talk all the time. You can find them in churches and schools and newspapers and legislatures and Congress. That's their business. They sound wonderful. Death before dishonor, this ground sanctified by blood, these men who died so gloriously, they shall not have died in vain, our noble dead." Yes, you can always hear the people who are willing to sacrifice someone else's life. They're plenty loud, and they talk all the time. And I found another good one the other day when I was looking around. "If an American is concerned only about his nation, he will not be concerned about the peoples of Asia, Africa, or South America. Is this not why nations engage in the madness of war without the slightest sense of penitence? Is this not why the murder of a citizen of your own nation is a crime, but the murder of citizens of another nation in war is an act of heroic virtue?" Martin Luther King Jr. I doubt that there are a lot of people, at least a great percentage of people that I know, who, I guess what I want to say is I think a lot of people would be surprised if they went through all of Martin Luther King's writings and found out what a very astute, very intelligent, very eloquent man he was. He's a very, very deep thinker. Martin Luther King, warts and all. You've all heard all the stuff about Martin Luther King, good, bad, and otherwise. But he was a tremendous man. Tremendous man. Brilliant. Brilliant. That's all I can say. And I would hate to think where this nation would be. We're nowhere near where we need to be yet on that issue. Nowhere close to where we need to be. Let me say that. But I'd hate to think where we would still be were it not for Martin Luther King. The George Wallaces, the Lester Maddoxes, the cops with the fire hoses, and the dogs. I'd hate to think where we'd still be. I really would. So, it's not just black folks that have Martin Luther King to thank. Not at all. This nation owed Martin Luther King a huge debt of gratitude for what he's done for this country. Very, very much so. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. Hope you'll give us a call. We'll be back in just a minute or two.
I'm George W. Bush, leader of the free world. I want to bomb Iraq. And when the world says no, I say, yeah, whatever. Saddam has started to meet our demands. Yeah, whatever. I talked to Colin Powell. He said,
sir, maybe we should give the inspectors more time.
I said, no. You know why? Because it's in my United States of whatever. Yeah. And this is my United States of whatever.
President Bush.
Hush up. Don't talk to me now. And this is my United States of whatever. Leave it to me. Hello.
This is Putin. Russia will veto war.
I see. Whatever. Mr. President, North Korea's got nukes. Oh, ding dong dong ding ding dong dong. Translation? Whatever.
I am Bin Laden. You still have not caught me.
I'm George W. You know what the W stands for? Yet.
Hey, welcome back to the Guy James Show. Back at about, 8-9 minutes left. Just happened to notice that the Kukla, the official Guy James Show Yorkie puppy, came walking in from the outer office into the studio. Cute little dog, just sitting here looking at me right now like, you mentioned my name, what for? Have you got a treat for me? I guess that's it. Hey, glad to have all of you along with us this afternoon. We've covered a lot of territory today. We certainly have, and we've got enough time to cover some more. So if you'd give us a call, that'd be a good thing. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. I do want to say a great big thank you to a guy that doesn't get enough thanks, Ben Birch, over at WhiteRoseSociety.org. WhiteRoseSociety.org. Lots of great archives over there of our show and many others, and the folks of the Head On Radio Network, of course, and the Shelby LaPrey over at Radio Power. So be sure and check those out. Why, we just wouldn't be around here if it weren't for these folks. That's how it is. I've gotten a lot of email during the show today, and I'm sorry I haven't had a chance to answer hardly any of it during the show today. Been a little bit busy. Just been one of those days, but somebody did, several people did ask about the situation with Mike Malloy. I do not know right now, and I better not speculate. I was going to say I have an idea Mike might know. I don't know. I certainly hope he does. I hope Mike knows exactly where he's going and what he's going to do next. I couldn't wish that any more than I possibly do right now. Let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, this is Juanita.
Hi, Juanita.
You were talking about Martin Luther King. I want to just mention that I was a Southerner, you know, and I'm thankful that I've been released of many, many prejudices, and I believe we owe a lot of it to him. And right now, my best friend is black, and she's was a freedom. You know, she knew all of those. She knew Martin Luther King. She said he and his wife were the sweetest people you could ever, and humble people you would ever meet.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just thankful for that, and that a lot of people, you know, got a chance to lose their prejudices, because when you're born in the South, it's just there. And some people are taught a hatred, but
You are a product. You're a product of your environment. You really are. I don't think there's any question about that.
And I just thank God, you know, that my eyes have been opened.
Sure.
And that I'm, you know, I probably wouldn't even be friends with her years and years ago. And we've got so much in common, and, you know, people are people when you get to know everybody.
I never...
And I'm just thankful for him.
Yes. Well, yes, his presence on this earth was important. I never got a chance to meet Coretta. I did have the honor of meeting Martin Luther King, and it was
She was in their church, and you know, was in their home and all, and she knows like Jesse Jackson and all of those people, Julian Bond and everything, and she lived up there when he got killed and all too, and anyway.
Was it just how your memory gets when you get a little older? Was it just this year that Coretta Scott King passed away? It wasn't too long ago.
I don't know if it was this year or last year.
Yeah, it wasn't too long ago.
I can't remember now.
Yeah, time does fly.
Was it after the Hurricane Katrina, somewhere in that vicinity?
I'm just not sure.
I'll tell you, Guy, when you get older, your time just goes so fast.
Yeah, you see all these...
You have that to look forward to.
Yes, all you youngsters have this to look forward to as well. I used to wonder about it. My father, you know, I first noticed it in my father. As my father got older, I understood that he could remember in the greatest of details what happened 30 mm-hmm. years ago, but he couldn't remember where he put his glasses. And guess what? Guess what? I have inherited
uh-oh.
That quality. Oh yeah.
Uh-oh. So, uh-huh.
Yeah, and that's not a good thing for a talk show host. I might add, I've got about three pairs of glasses sitting around here. So,
oh. Well, I've enjoyed all the new people calling in today too.
Yes, I have as well, and the more the merrier. And
that's right.
Encourage everybody to
learn a lot from everybody. Can learn something from everybody if they want to.
That's right. That's right. Hey, thanks for calling,
Juanita. Thank you
so
much.
Yeah. Bye bye.
Bye.
You know, I was going to talk today. This is 2 days in a row. I promise tomorrow I'm going to do it. Let me see. What have I got scheduled tomorrow? I've got I've got an interview. I've got two interviews tomorrow, but I'm still going to talk about this tomorrow. I have been wanting to talk about the Bush people, and I made myself a whole bunch of notes here about how the Bush people want to frighten everybody into voting for Republicans again this year, and they're willing to. Make any references they need to, any associations they need to. You know, we talked at length recently about the Rumsfeld and the appeasement and Cheney and all the things those horrible, horrible people have been saying. And I intend to rub it in their face a little bit tomorrow. So do want you to tune in for that. We've got a couple of great interviews tomorrow. I do hope you'll tune in for the whole show tomorrow. You better be here. I'm good. I got to be here. You got to be here. And I also want to remind you that coming up on the Head On Radio Network, we got Bruce Birch coming up at 5, from 5 to 7. And then from 7 to 10, we got Bob Kincaid, the pride of Beckley, West Virginia. And after that, I'm going to have a replay of one of the old ID America Mike Malloy shows that will be on there. And those are very entertaining. Quintessential Mike, that's for sure. You know, that's one thing about Mike. You go back over the years, and listen in his shows. He's Mike all the time, every day, every show. He's Mike. You know, some days in a better mood, another just like the rest of us. But and I've been asked about when are we going to have a little Republican love on here? We know we used to do that almost every day. Well, not every day, but. We'll gather some of that up around here. I've got a couple here. Well, that one yesterday, I'd have to edit that so much that you wouldn't understand what it said anymore. Some of these people get a little bit vociferous with their email and say some very naughty things that even I wouldn't say. And you know, I'm not I'm not adverse to letting something slip now and then, but boy, some of these Republicans, very moral religious Republicans, I'm very, very surprised at some of the things they say now and then. I really am. You just wouldn't think they were good Christian family values type people. You really wouldn't. No. Well, hey, we're glad you listened to the program today. It's an honor and a pleasure to always have you listen to the program. We hope you'll tell your friends about it and have them join us too. As I said, the more the merrier. Here on the Head On Radio Network, you've been listening to the Guy James Show. And never forget, you heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. See you tomorrow, gang.